Our study tonight is out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Catholicism's insufficient sacrifices versus Christ's sufficient sacrifice. A number of our church members have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and they often seek support in biblical truths that counter the strong, errant indoctrination they faced in their past. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 10, 1-18 contrasted the Aaronic high priest's impotent sacrifices with Christ's sufficient sacrifice. The passage thus counters Roman Catholicism's belief on man's need for continual sacrifices of Christ in the Mass. So we view this passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 18. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them, After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. The Catholic Church teaches a need for repeat and insufficient sacrifices of Christ in the Mass in order to get into heaven. Catholicism holds that Christ's single death on the cross will not get one into heaven, for purgatory is necessary to cleanse one of imperfections, venial sins, and faults, and that purgatorial punishments may be relieved by the offerings of the living faithful, such as Masses. And then there are other things that can be done too. Now, as for the Mass, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Mass, wherein the body and blood of Christ exists, is the same offering that took place on the cross at the crucifixion of Christ. That's according to the Catholic Encyclopedia. However, the Catholic Church then claims that the priest can never give assurance that the soul for which he has said Mass is out of purgatory. He has no criterion by which that can be known. Hence, the offerings may be continued for years. In fact, Lorraine Botner goes on to say they often recommend that rich people put thousands of dollars aside so they can save Masses for 20 or 30 years in hopes that they can get their soul out of purgatory. So the Roman Catholic Church views Christ's historical death on the cross as insufficient to purge the sinner of his sins, that Christ's sacrifice on the cross must be repeated in a humanly unknown number of Masses with no gauge for determining when any particular person can escape purgatory and enter into heaven. However, Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 18, especially the English Standard Version, contrasts the sufficiency of Christ's death on the cross with the insufficiency of the Old Testament Aaronic sacrifices and by application, the insufficiency of any other sacrificial system. The Mosaic law had only a shadow of the good things to come, not the true form of those realities. So that could never, by the same sacrifices that were offered each year, perfect the worshipers. Had those offerings sufficiently atoned for sin, there would not have been any need for them to be repeated. And those sacrifices under the law only kept reminding people of their sin. For the blood of sacrificial animals like bulls and goats could never take away man's sins. For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said that the Father had no desire in the sacrifices and offerings of the Aaronic priesthood, but that God had prepared a body for him to give as a satisfactory sacrifice in God's view. For that reason, Christ said that he had come to do the Father's will, just as is written in Scripture. This is all in Hebrews 10, 5 through 6 and verse 7. He's citing Psalm 40 at this point. In making these statements, it's evident that God was abolishing the first inadequate Aaronic priestly sacrificial system to establish the second effective order with the sacrifice of Christ. Thus, by God's will, we are sanctified through the one historical offering of Christ's body, once for all. Now, here you have a form of the word hapax that we've covered before. Hapax is once for all, but this is ephapax. This is more emphatic. Once for all, period. Don't even think about it. That's what he's saying. On the cross. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, that completely handled the issue of sin. There's no more need for sacrifice. There's no more need to repeat this thing. When Jesus said it is finished, it was finished. Shekinah. Shekinah is a house of term meaning finished. That's it. Though the Aaronic priests stood daily offering repeat sacrifices that could never take away sins, Christ, by the offering of his one historical sacrifice for sins on the cross, then sat down at the Father's right hand. And we say this every time we have the communion service. His work of redemption being finished or complete, and he currently waits for his foes to be made a footstool for his feet, according to Psalm 110, verse 1. Now the Holy Spirit testified to this truth in Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34, when he predicted the new covenant promise. That promise was that God would put his laws in the hearts of his people, writing them on their minds, and their sins would be removed from God's memory as the issue of sin would have been fully addressed. The thing is, when God removes the issue of sin from his mind, there's no more need for sacrifice. It's done. So where there is such forgiveness of sins, or remission of sins, there's no longer any need for an offering of sin. One of the beautiful verses that we have in Colossians 1, 13 and 14 speaks of in Christ, in whom we have forgiveness of sins. If we have forgiveness of sins, you don't need a sacrifice for sin. Forgiven. Period. So contrary to the Aaronic sacrificial system, and by application to the Roman Catholic system of the Mass, the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ was a once for all, single death on the cross, fully handles our sin. So may we joyfully rest in Christ's once for all finished sufficient sacrifice on the cross for our sin. Many years ago, I heard about an SS officer in World War II, one of his responsibilities was to kill Jews. They would line them up at these dug-out grave areas, and they would gun them down, and the bodies would drop in, and then they cover the soil over. Many years after that, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then he started having terrible nightmares because he realized the awfulness of what he had been doing in World War II. And he kept having these nightmares until he found out that he was actually forgiven. God had actually forgiven his sins. It was gone. It was under the blood. And the relief that that man experienced because of that was something that we probably have no... can't fathom, but he could. And then he could finally go to sleep at night because he was actually forgiven. And that's an amazing truth, but it's true. The Father absolutely poured out his wrath on his Son, all of it on his Son. Jesus took all of it. And so when Jesus shouted, "It is finished," it was a victory cry, and then he gave his life. He had to, because only through the death of Christ could there be the atonement for sin. But that completely settled it, and that's why God tore the curtain from the top to the bottom between the holiest of holies and the holy place, just ripped it so that sinners could come in and fellowship with the Lord based on the blood of Christ. And, of course, the curtain there represented the body of Christ. So the body of Christ was essentially ripped, and because the sin was on. And so we have complete forgiveness of sins. So it's a wonderful thing to tell people when they accept Christ as their Savior, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You don't have to do penance for those sins. Those sins are covered. And that's why as Christians, 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins as Christians, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we're aware of a sin, we probably have committed a couple of more sins and unrighteousness than what we're aware of. But when we confess what we know, God graciously covers those other areas, which is wonderful. But we have a God who's in our corner. And the one who also is in our corner is the Lord Jesus, who died for us. And so we can find forgiveness in him.